Welcome to the AquariumMax audio show with Russ and Kelly. We provide information on all kinds of aquarium-related topics.
This is episode 22, recorded December 29th, 2009. Buenas tardes, everybody. It's just me, Russ, this week. Kelly will be back with us next time, but wasn't able to join us tonight. To get started, we're talking about Java ferns. Now, the scientific name of Java fern is Microsorum teropus, and this means something like a small spore-bearing body with a leaf foot or wing foot or fin foot, something like that. Tero means wing or fin or leaf. So this comes from the fact that it has small black spore-bearing structures on the undersides of its leaves. They're kind of black circles, a little bigger than the head of a pin. And then teropus, the leaf foot, comes from the fact that they have a structure called a rhizome that kind of climbs around, creeps along the substrate or on the whatever structure the plant's attached to, and leaves extend from that. At least that's a fairly good guess of where it comes from. I wasn't the one who named it, but that kind of makes sense with the way the plant grows. Now, there are several different types or cultivars of Java fern, and all of them are equally suited for aquarium use, and there is some debate over whether some of the cultivars or varieties are actually different species, and that may or may not be true. I don't know, so I'm not going to comment a whole lot on that. But just to give you an overview of that, there are the basic varieties that you can find, which just known as Java ferns, which have a leaf structure that can vary in length from maybe 4 inches to over a foot in length, and they often have just one leaf coming from the rhizome, and then another leaf comes off a little further. And the leaf is just a simple, long, skinny shape like you might find on an Amazon sword plant. And sometimes they divide at the tips. You'll have some that have two leaf tips or some that have three, kind of a trident structure on the end of the leaf. That's the normal Java fern variety. But there are many other varieties. There's one that has sort of a hammer-like, hammered structure to it, with little dents in the leaves. There are the narrow leaf and needle leaf Java ferns, where the leaves are much longer and narrower proportionally than the other ones. There are the windelove or lace Java ferns, where the bottom part of the leaf grows normally, but then the tip of the leaf divides into many different branches, sort of like the antler of a moose, things like that. And there's the Tropica variety that does sort of a similar thing, but it starts at the very base of the leaf, and so it starts dividing lower down on the leaf and divides into many different sections or lobes of the leaf. So there are many different types. There's even a dwarf variety. There's one that looks a little bit reddish on part of the leaf. You can find a lot of different types. But in general, the care and requirements are the same. There are differences in size, speed of growth, and everything like that. Usually the varieties with smaller leaves tend to grow more quickly. I've noticed the needle leaf and the lace varieties grow a little more quickly for me than the normal types do. But in any case, they're all great plants. Now, who should keep Java ferns? Well, just about anybody. They're great if you want a low-maintenance planted aquarium. They don't need a lot of light to grow. They can grow in 1 watt per gallon or even less in certain circumstances, although it's generally recommended you have 2 watts per gallon. They can do fine in a lot of community aquariums without special plant lighting. They can do fine in a normal planted aquarium with lots of other plants and with high light, with CO2 and so on. They can do just fine in a tank without any substrate. Some plants don't do that well without a substrate to grow in, but Java ferns attach themselves to rocks and driftwood and so on. So if you have a tank without a substrate, that's a great place to put them. You can also keep them in tanks with fish that eat plants in general. It depends on the species. Some species of fish will absolutely destroy Java ferns in a matter of moments, but there are a large group of fish that will eat many other plants and damage many other plants, but really won't hurt Java fern much. And they're great as a first aquarium plant. They weren't my first aquarium plant. I probably kept 4 or 5 different species before I kept Java fern, but I'm really glad I finally started with Java fern sometime later, because I've loved it ever since and have tried to keep some on hand. So I highly recommend it for just about anybody. You can keep it in soft water. You can keep it in hard water. You can keep it in almost liquid rock, like tanks for shell-dwelling cichlids that have all kinds of minerals dissolved in the water from the shells that are in the water and so on. They do great in there. So They are really adaptable plants. Now, where can you get Java ferns? Well, you can get them from other hobbyists. They grow and divide and produce lots of other plantlets, so if you know a hobbyist who has Java fern, chances are they'll be able to part with a little bit of it without any problem. You can find them at pet stores. You have to be careful, though, because if they've been at a pet store for too long, they may have been kept in incorrect situation, which could be bad for them and kind of damage them or stunt their growth or things like that. So if you get a shipment that's just come in, or you have a knowledgeable pet store that knows what they're doing with aquatic plants, then you're probably fine. But that's pet store may not be the best place to pick them up. Another place you can go is an online source. You can go to something like Aquabid or an online aquarium plant shop. Those typically are pretty good sources to get them, and I've got most of mine from sources like that. I tend to recommend that one. Well, let's imagine you are in a pet store and you want to choose one, or you're at a hobbyist house or something. You're in a position to be able to choose from various Java ferns. How would you choose one? Well, look at one that is, of course, kind of a healthy green color. It doesn't have a lot of black or decaying leaves, brown leaves, leaves with a lot of holes in them. You want to avoid those sorts of things, although you can certainly bring one back to life. And if one plant has a few blackened or a few browned or holy leaves on it, that's not a big deal. You can always remove those and have a perfectly healthy plant. You do want to make sure you get one that's not planted in the substrate, because there are several different structures you'll see on a Java fern. They do have roots, but they're rather sparingly produced by this plant in comparison to some other plants. They're not as heavy on the root development as some other plants. But then they have a rhizome, which is sort of a stem, a sort of thick, twisting stem structure that creeps along on top of the substrate that doesn't like to be buried in the substrate, that can damage the plant if it's been in there for too long. So try to find one that hasn't been in there, that either is not planted in the substrate or hasn't been there for very long, and that will help it to be healthy. Otherwise, that rhizome can rot, and that's really the heart of the plant, the part that is essential for the plant's survival. Although, and we'll talk about this later, it's possible to start with just a leaf and get some healthy Java fern plants too. We'll come back to that a little later when we talk about propagation. But now that you've chosen a Java fern, now if you are going to have it shipped from an online source, don't be worried if you receive it and it's in a bag, like a plastic bag with not very much water. That's how aquatic plants generally ship, and they do better that way, believe it or not, shipped with very little water. They're usually a few drops of water in the bag, and that's enough to keep the humidity up, keep the plant safe. Too much water can actually damage the plant in transit, so don't worry if it's not planted in a whole lot. Now, what size of container do you want to use for a Java fern? Well, you can keep it in a very small tank. I've kept them in anything from 1 or 2 gallons, you know, all the way up to 55, and they'll do fine in anything as long as they get enough light. Once again, 2 watts per gallon are recommended as a general rule of thumb. There are exceptions to that. I have had some grow successfully in ambient room light. As long as it's not too dim, they can do fine there too. And then I've had them in, you know, 4 watts per gallon too. So it just depends on what you want to do there as far as light and container size. With water parameters, if fish can live in it, Java ferns can live in it. So don't really worry there, seriously. Feeding them as far as fertilizers go. If you have fish in the tank, they probably really don't need a whole lot, but if you want them to do better and just thrive, you can give them some trace element mix. I usually dose that, you know, follow the package directions for that. Or some potassium iron type of general aquarium plant fertilizer works fine too, or both of those. Ideally, both of those, according to package directions, they should be fine, but once again, you can keep Java ferns without any fertilization other than that of water changes and fish waste, and they should be fine. CO2, supplemental CO2 does accelerate their growth, but it's not necessary. They'll do fine without it, so that's up to you what you want to do there. It just depends on the speed you want your plants to grow with. As far as propagating Java ferns, one of the easiest ways to do it is just once the plant has grown quite a bit, just divide the rhizome. Take, you know, your aquarium pruning shears and just cut a rhizome at whatever point so that you're dividing one plant into two and then carefully tease it apart, because sometimes the leaves are tangled up. Carefully tease it apart so that you're not ripping a whole lot of leaves off, and then just attach that new plant to something. You can attach it to a piece of driftwood, a piece of lava rock. You can attach it to a clay pot. You can attach it to whatever you want. You can leave it floating if you want. They'll grow fine, actually, if they're left floating. Although I don't think they look as good that way, and I think they're a little happier if you attach them to something. But they will grow for years just floating. But you can attach them to all kinds of things. Some of the best things to use to attach them are rubber bands, although you need to be careful with rubber bands, that they're not too tight or too loose. Too tight can damage the plant, too loose, and they can float off. And you also need to make sure that once they start to degrade and once the plant has attached itself, because the plant has these kind of stick-on structures that it will grab onto whatever substrate you attach them to after a matter of weeks, that you remove the rubber band so that your fish don't try to eat it, because I've seen that happen a few times where once the rubber band falls off, the fish think it's something to eat and try to eat it, and that can make them sick. It can impact in their intestinal tract and so on, so be careful about that. You can also tie it on with thread. If you tie it on with, for example, cotton thread, black is good because it doesn't show up that much. Eventually that cotton thread will just sort of dissolve into the water, and by the time it's dissolved, the plant will be well on its way and will have attached itself to whatever substrate you desire. So, you know, just about anything. You can even attach it to a foam block that's under the water attached to a filter or whatever. It's really pretty not very picky about what it attaches to. Now, you can also get plantlets from the leaves. The leaves themselves will develop plantlets at the tips or even along the bottom of the plant. And especially if you detach a leaf from a plant, even sometimes when it looks dead and black, but also when it looks healthy. Usually if it floats up at the top, it will start to develop these little plantlets on various points. And once they've developed enough, you can kind of just gently rub them off of the parent leaf. And there you go. You've got a new plantlet to go attach to something else, or let it grow up a little bit before you do that, and you've got another plant. So there are several ways you can do that. Some people say that they've had them also reproduce from the spores on the plant, and you see them growing in little cracks in your silicone adhesive in the corner of your tank or things like that, where they couldn't possibly have been planted. I've not seen that myself, but I certainly get a lot of little plantlets growing on the leaves and divisions from the rhizome by dividing that thick stem creeping structure of the rhizome. There you go. Well, let's talk a little bit now about troubleshooting problems with Java fern. One is, some people worry about the translucent leaf tips, because, you know, Java ferns are true ferns, and so they grow in sort of a curling fiddle leaf structure, and so you see a little curling tip of the leaf that unfurls slowly as the leaf grows. But that tip is often a sort of translucent color, and apparently what happens there is that there's some air that eventually fills in the gaps in that growing tissue, but before it does, it looks translucent, and once some gases have filled in that little area, it looks a little bit more the normal leaf color, and so you don't have to worry if there are translucent tips on the leaves. You might have to worry if the whole leaf looks translucent, and this is something I found out by accident. One tank I had in my office, I had recently set up, and I realized that the leaves were growing in, but they were all growing in translucent, the entire leaf, and they weren't changing. And I was wondering what was going on, and then I realized that my timer had been tripped from onto manual instead of automatic, and so the timer was never tripping when I was leaving, and the light was on 24 hours a day. And that was apparently interfering with some part of the growth cycle of the Java fern, and the leaves were coming out translucent. So as soon as I fixed that, leaves started growing in normally again. Strange but true. So there you go. The moral of the story is, make sure that your timer is working properly. Maybe have it turn off a couple of minutes before you're going to leave for work instead of a couple minutes after you leave from work or something like that. Blackening of the leaves. Well, if your leaves are blackening, you know, one leaf on the plant once in a while turns black, that's normal. The plant is just, you know, replacing old leaves and they're dying off as the new leaves are growing. If a lot of them are growing, something is going wrong. So check your water quality, check nutrients, see if there's something that's bugging the plant. see if there's some toxin in the water. There's something wrong, but just the normal things that you do to take care of your fish, if those parameters are okay, then your plant should be okay. So just check your normal parameters for your fish, and then you should be fixing that. Now, if the leaves are getting a little yellow, they might not be getting enough light. That's a possibility. They might not be getting enough iron or other nutrients. So once again, if you're not giving any nutrients any beyond those that are being produced by your fish or other aquarium inhabitants, and you're getting yellow leaves, you may want to, well, look at the light, of course. And then if that doesn't seem to be a problem, then try a trace mix. I usually give a trace mix, depending on the tank and so on, a couple of times a week to up to once a day in very small doses. And Java ferns do great on that. Anything else? I think that's about it. Java ferns are great, easy plants, so enjoy them. And I'm sure they'll do a lot for you. And they help to make your aquarium more interesting, a happier place for your fish, and they're really, really super easy. So have fun with those.
Thank you for listening to this edition of the Aquarimax Audio Show. For additional episodes, please visit aquarimax.com. For comments and/or questions, please email us at info@aquarimax.com.